218 is our invitation song for this morning. There's a fountain free. It's a time that God has granted unto us. If we're not right with Him, we can make our lives right. We've never obeyed the gospel. We can obey the gospel, become a child of God, and leave this worship service pleased with our Heavenly Father and be justified in His sight. And if we fell away, we can confess our faults and be brought back into the fold and still have the love of God. This morning, as we come to this part of our worship service, it's a very important time for a child of God, a Christian. God expects every one of us to be here. And this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, is the importance of this service that we're partaking of this morning. In the past several years, I've noticed a trend of the Lord's Day comes around, and some people take vacation, and they miss the Lord's Day in the worship service, and especially that table right before us. And that table is holy, and a lot of times we don't realize that. That's the body of Christ. You think that's holy? It's holy. That fruit of the vine, that's His blood, it's holy. And we're going to find out that when we don't do this right, the Bible speaks of us being unholy in the way we treat this Lord's table. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, is the importance of the child of God, a Christian, to be in the worship service on the first day of the week. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to notice verses 25 through 31. And in my studies, I've overlooked this. And when I come across this and kept everything in context, I saw something new that I hadn't saw before. And when I saw it, I called Brother Harry and discussed it with Brother Harry about what I noticed in these scriptures. And he agreed with me. But it's very important to realize, as a child of God, you know, it should be an honor and a privilege to come together around this table and to think a child of God would willfully forsake it. But if you will, turn to Hebrews 10 and verse 25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." He says, "He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despise unto the spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You know, as we read these scriptures, all these scriptures right here has reference to the Lord's table. And I've never really noticed that, but when you keep it in context, he's talking about the Lord's table. All these things that are mentioned here. And we find, you know, the Bible tells us that all scriptures has been given by the inspiration of God. And in the Great Commission, he told us, the apostles, to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. And so we're to teach and observe. And one thing that we find that the Holy Spirit teaches us, that we're to observe this Lord's table. And we go back to Hebrews 10 and verse 25. And we're going to notice each one of these scriptures. He says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Well, what assembly is he talking about? The only one that we read of is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, where he says, "Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread." And then there's a comma, and it goes on, it says, Paul preached unto them. And so one of the things about Acts 20 and 7, he says the main purpose was that they assembled was to break bread. And, you know, when we take Acts, the second chapter, in verse 38, and we talk about baptism, you know, it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And when we talk to people, you know, we always let them know, you know, it says, repent and be baptized. And joins both of them. That both of them is important. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized. Here in Acts 20, when he talks about Paul preaching, that's something else that took place. But the most important part was the breaking of bread. And God expects us on the first day of the week to assemble together to break bread. And while we're here, we find that the Bible teaches us, you know, we preach His Word, we study His Word, we grow in grace and knowledge of His Word, we sing praises unto Him. We also find, it says on the first day of the week, the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to the church at Corinth, to Galatia, he says that on the first day of the week, that we're to lay by in store as God has prospered him. So there's another thing that we find that the Bible teaches us on the first day of the week, that we're to give of our means on the first day of the week. But yet, the most important thing we do in this worship service this morning is to partake of that Lord's Supper. And we find that people are forsaking it. He goes on and he says, as the manner of some is. And all that is saying, there's people forsaking the assembly. But he goes on after that, he said, exhort one another. So he tells us, we need to be encouraged one another, especially those that are forsaking the assembly, we need to encourage them to worship God, and to worship God on the first of the week, and to partake of this Lord's Supper. And we're going to notice how important this Lord's Supper is. And he said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. My Bible here has got a C by it. It says, go to Philippians 4, and it tells you what they think this means. And they run a reference to this being a judgment. And last night, talking to Brother Dana Chandler, he mentioned, you know, the day approaching, we don't know when the judgment's coming. And that's what a lot of people refer to this, that the day approaching was a judgment, and so we're to assemble on the first day of the week because the day of judgment comes. But that, if you keep it in its context, the day approaching, what is coming? The first day of the week. And so we're to encourage one another to worship God on the first day of the week and to come together around this Lord's table. Then verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Alright, this willful sin that he's talking about is forsaking the first day of the week. And so we need to realize that we keep this in its context, this willful sin that has been committed, if somebody has willfully made a decision not to worship God on the first day of the week and to come together around this table, and they decided to go on vacation, they decided to watch football game, they decided to go visit people, they make all different excuses for not assembling around the Lord's table. And so he said, if you willfully make a decision on the first day of the week as a child of God, a Christian, to forsake this, he said, you willfully sin. You know, the Bible tells us, he that knoweth what to do and do it not, it is sin. We know as a child of God, we're to be in this assembly and we're to partake of this Lord's table. He goes on, he said, after that he received the knowledge of the truth. You know, we all understand that we're to partake of this Lord's table. And that's what he's speaking about. In John the 6th chapter, in verses 53 through 56, John makes an important statement concerning what Jesus said in the 6th chapter. And it's about this Lord's table. It said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. You know, if you pick this Bible up, if you've never read the Bible, and say you're in the book of John, you come to this, you read this, you don't know what that means. And those people, when Jesus spoke it, they didn't know what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And he said, if you don't do this, he said, you have no life in you. And the people said, that was a hard saying. And if you study history and you read some of the historians that go back to around this time, they referred to the Christians as people that were cannibals because they ate flesh and they drank blood. See, they didn't understand what this was, and they referred to the Christians as cannibals. And when I read it for the first time, I don't understand what it means. And when Jesus spoke this is was at the beginning of his ministry. Toward the end of his ministry, the night before he was betrayed, you can read Matthew the 26th chapter, verses 26 through 28, Mark the 14th chapter, verses 22 and 25, Luke the 22nd chapter, verses 17 through 20. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And you can read about it. But where we're going to turn to is 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And in verse 23, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you." Here, the Lord Jesus Christ told the Apostle Paul, "You teach them about the Lord's Supper." And so Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And so here we find the Apostle Paul telling us why we do this. We partake of these emblems in remembrance of what Jesus had done for us and going to Calvary's cross and dying. And then he said, "You do this in remembrance of me until I come again." So he's telling us what these emblems stand for and why we're to partake of it is to remember what Jesus done for us. And that's one of the biggest problems a Christian has in his Christian life, is forgetting God in his everyday life. And so we find that on the first day of the week, we come together around this every first day is to encourage us to live the Christian life and remind the sacrifice that has been paid for our sins and the wrath that we're to take, that Jesus took it himself. And so when we partake of this, we're supposed to look back to the cross and see what Jesus had done for me. What he done for me. And then John says, if we don't eat this flesh and drink this blood, he says, you have no life in you. No life in you. Does God mean what he says when he records that if I don't take of this, I have no life in me? And so when I read this about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper and what Paul tells us about the Lord's Supper, now I understand what he says in John 6 about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Jesus was speaking about his actual body and blood. He hadn't even shed. He hadn't died yet. But it was spiritual. And so the body and the blood that we drank on this table represents what he done on Calvary's cross. And so when you look at John and 6, in the beginning of his ministry, you know, we don't understand it until we read about the Lord's Supper and him instituted. And another example of this same thought is, you know, in John, the third chapter, He tells us we must be born again of the water and Spirit. What does that mean? When he taught them that, and he said, unless you're born of the water and Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. We can't enter without being born of water and Spirit. You know, when he told that, they didn't understand what it meant. And when I read it, I don't understand what it means. But yet, as I read the other scriptures, I find out that in Acts the 2nd chapter, when the church was established, that Peter told those people that crucified Jesus Christ to be baptized for the remission of sin, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Then I see what he's talking about, being born of the water and Spirit. There's the water and there's the Spirit. And we find out when we read Romans 6 that we're buried in the likeness of his death, we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection, we become a new creature. Then I understand what born again is. When you're born of the water and Spirit, you obey the gospel and you're baptized in the water, you receive the Holy Spirit. There's no time in history that I read of in the Bible that God had ever promised man the Holy Spirit. But yet, during the Christian dispensation, we find that when we obey the gospel and we have our sins washed away, the Bible teaches us our body becomes a temple of God. And His Spirit dwells within us. We're a child of His, our body's a temple, and He expects us to live in such a way that we're going to bring glory to His name. And so, when we read it in the first, we don't understand it in the beginning of His ministry. But yet, as we study His Word, then we understand what born again, the water and the Spirit. And there's a lot of people today don't understand about being born of the water and the Spirit. They'll tell you they've been born again, they've never been baptized. They don't understand it. But here, so we understand it, He tells us that we're to partake of this Lord's Supper. And we go back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 25. Or verse 26. He said, for if we sin willfully that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. And so we see that we're to partake of the Lord's Supper. And he said, if we don't, he said, if we willfully sin by not taking of it. Another thing that I noticed about the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, when Jesus instituted it in Luke, the 22nd chapter, toward the end of Luke 22, verses 29 and verse 30, notice what Jesus says. Jesus says, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And so here now we've got an invitation by Jesus himself telling that God appointed a kingdom unto him that he's appointed unto us that we can eat and drink at his table in his kingdom. And when we find that we're born again, we're in his kingdom. We find in Colossians 1 and verse 30, Paul told the Christians at Colossae, he said, you've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when we obey the gospel, we've been translated into God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, Jesus has given us an invitation to sit down at his table in his kingdom. And when I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he prayed three times for this cup to pass from me, he did not want to die, but it was God's will, and he went to Calvary's cross and he suffered all this for me. Then he's asked me to sit down at his table and to partake of these emblems. When he died for me, can I do anything less? Can I do anything less for the price that he paid for me to have the opportunity to remember him around this table? And he wants me to remember him every first day of the week, what he's done, lest I forget. Lest I forget. You know, in Luke the 14th chapter, in verses 16 through 24, we find that Jesus teaches a parable. And in that parable, it's a great supper. And this man that made this great supper, it said he bade many to come to his supper. This great supper is referring to the Jews being offered the gospel of Christ, and they rejected Christ. And so, since they rejected him, he told them to go on the highway and byways. And that's when referring to the Gentiles coming in. But the Jews that was offered to come to this great supper that refused, it says, verse 25, "For I say unto you that there none of these men which were bid shall taste of my supper." You know, the excuses was, one says, "I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it, I pray thee have me excused." Another said, "I bought five yokes of oxen, I go to prove them, I pray thee have me excused." Another said, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." These people, the great supper, the man invited his friends to the great supper, they made excuses not to come. And he said, they're not going to partake of it when they slide my invitation. When I look at this and I think about the Lord's table, what is a more greater supper that man can partake of besides this Lord's table? And for me to make an excuse not to be here on Sunday, what do you think the Lord was going to say? This master here said, you're not worthy of it. And if I look at this lightly and I willfully forsake, what sore punishment. We're going to notice what the Lord thinks about this. Going back to Hebrews 26, he said there remain no more sacrifice for sin. You know, we understand that the only way we get forgiveness of sin is through the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so, if I willfully decide not to come and worship God and come together around this Lord's table, then what am I doing? I'm looking down that this don't mean nothing to me. If it don't mean nothing to me, then I'm rejecting Christ, because that's what I'm doing when I fail to come and partake of this. I'm rejecting Christ. Well, there ain't no more sacrifice for sin except Christ. And so if I reject Him, I'm rejecting everything. Then he goes on in the 27th verse, notice what he says. "But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary." So, he talks about forsaking the Lord's table. He talked about it's a willful sin. Now, verse 27, he's talking about judgment and fiery indignation. He's talking about punishing those who forsake the Lord's table. Because when we forsake the Lord's table, there's something not right with us as a child of God, a Christian, to willfully forsake it. There's something wrong with our Christian life if I willfully forsake this Lord's table. Verse 28, he says, "He that despised Moses' law, he died without mercy under two or three witnesses." And so, the very next verse, he's going to give us an example of what to expect. He says, under Moses' law, he said, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We have a good example of this in Numbers, the 15th chapter, and in verse 32. It says, "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation. And they put him inward, because it was not declared what should be done unto him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. And all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses." Here's a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, was stoned to death. Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You notice it says that they were found together picking up sticks. And he mentioned there were several that found him picking up sticks. You got to have two or three under the law of Moses to condemn anybody. And so he was condemned. God says stone him for picking up sticks without mercy. When God tells us to do something, God expects us to do something. God tells us, I told those people not to work on the Sabbath day, and he rejected God's commandment. And the thing about it, he had the whole congregation do the stoning. And why did he have the whole congregation to stone him? They would not have an excuse I say, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to pick up sticks on Sunday. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to work on Sunday. Everybody in the congregation, God had them all to stone him, where they would know, you do like I tell you. You do like I tell you. And in this story of picking up sticks, when we go on down further in the story, after this took place, verse 37, it said the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, notice what he told the people to do after they had stoned him. The Lord told Moses, he said, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make fringes of borders on their garments throughout their generation. And we go to verse 39, it shall be put upon unto you for a print, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and to do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes. And so the purpose of remembering the Sabbath day, we find as we read on, is to remember God on the Sabbath day. They didn't have to go worship every Saturday, but they was to remember them on the Sabbath day by not working. They was to remember God on the Sabbath day. And this man refused to do what God said, and he was stoned to death. And so if we look at, you know, this is an example unto us. You know, they also observed the Passover. It came once a year. And observing the Passover, you think any of them took a vacation and missed the Passover? They knew that it was God's will for them to take the Passover. It's God's will for us to take this Lord's table. And just as it was God's will for them to not work on the Sabbath day, it's God's will for us today. I understand. He expects me on the first day of the week to come and partake of this Lord's table. But after he mentions this about the punishment and for willful sinning and forsaking this, that our life is not right before him, notice verse 29. Oh, how much sore punishment or worse punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who trodden underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and done despise unto the Spirit of grace. Alright, he's talking verse 29, sore punishment, worse punishment, for forsaking this. That's what he's talking about, and we're going to see this. He said, you trodden underfoot, Son of God. If I willfully decide to stay home, I'm trodden underfoot, God's Son. God's Son told me that I'm to come together to worship Him, to come together around this Lord's table. And if I stay home, I'm trodden underfoot, God's Son. Jesus wants me to do this. And Jesus says, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do this. And if I stay home and I just willfully decide not to come for some reason, make an excuse, I'm trodden underfoot, God's Son. And we need to realize that. And then he goes on, he said, and had counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. So here he now tells us that we've counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. You know, when we read in Luke 22nd chapter and verse 20, Matthew 26 and 28, and 1 Corinthians 11 and 25, you know, it tells us, it says, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You know what testament means? It means covenant. Jesus said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Now notice verse 29. He said, you counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing. He's talking about the Lord's table. And that's forsaken, partaking of this cup, the blood of the covenant. We've counted an unholy thing. And so if I don't partake of it and I count it unholy, that tells me that must be holy. That bread and that fruit of the vine, it's holy. And if I don't partake of it, I'm counting it unholy. And have done despise unto the Spirit of grace. We've insulted the Holy Spirit by not doing this. Then we go to verse 30. He says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. And so we're keeping all this in context. He's talking about God's vengeance being on us because we've forsaken the Lord's table. He said, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So he said, we're in God's hand, going to be judged by God, and how much worse punishment is it be if you forsake the Lord's table? You need to read this and study what he's telling us. And then you go back to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Now we stopped at verse 26. Now let's notice verse 27. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So here, in Paul telling us, if we eat this unworthily, he said, we're guilty of the body and the blood. And he said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So here he tells us, even if we come around it and partake of it, if we come around this without the right frame of mind and realizing what we're doing, what we're partaking of, he said that we are drinking damnation to ourselves. So if we willfully for sin, we're going to be down for it. And if we partake of this in the wrong way and manner, we're going to be guilty of it. And he said, we're drinking damnation to ourselves. And so we need to realize the importance of this Lord's table. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And communion referring to fellowship. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We're having fellowship with the body of Christ when we come together around this. And he says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread. He says that we're all partakers of that one bread, each one of us. He said, we're being many, but when he said, we're one bread, we're one body. You know, we're the body of Christ, and he expects the body of Christ to partake of the body of Christ. And so we need to realize what he's teaching us about this table and the importance of it. And to think, I'm a Christian, I love God, I love what Jesus done for me. How can I make an excuse on the first day of the week not to come and partake of this, to remember Jesus dying on Calvary's cross for me? I hope this morning that you understand the importance of this and realize what we need to do every first day of the week. And you need to read these scriptures and study for yourself to see the importance of this Lord's table. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we offer invitation song. For you hear his word, believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus Christ, and to be buried in that watery grave, to be raised in newness of life. We become a child of God, and we have the opportunity to come together around this table because he's put us in his kingdom. And if we fell away into sin and we come to our senses, we can be like the prodigal son. We can return back and ask the Father to forgive us, and he forgives us. God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to penance. He wants us all saved. So if we need to make anything right, that opportunity is yours while we stand and sing.